Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to jump right into local news, and we have breaking news out of Carrboro. Earlier this afternoon, the police department responded to one person who was shot on the 200 block of Prince Street, just off of Jones Ferry Road in Carrboro. The police department responded at about 2:30 this afternoon, according to a release from the town, to a disturbance call. And upon arrivals, officer found a subject who was shot and who was subsequently treated at the scene. Now, we have no description about what their state of injury was, but I imagine treating at the scene and no word on them being taken to the hospital, I should say. So we are awaiting some confirmation there from Carrboro Police Department, and they say the investigation is ongoing, but there is not believed to be any ongoing threat to public safety. We're working to continue to get more information, as I said, about the victim status and more information on the incident itself. We'll keep you updated right here and on chapelboro.com. And some other crime news from today. Authorities charged two Stanley County residents for their role in several catalytic converter thefts that spanned across three counties, including Chatham County and Orange County. The Chatham County's Sheriff's Office said Monday, Fucha Timothy Mua and Fuchi Matt Mua are charged with seven counts of felony larceny of motor vehicle parts each. A release from the office said the pair are at the center of numerous reports of the stolen catalytic converters around the region that date to this past December up through February. That includes many cases here in Orange County as well, with the sheriff's office saying the two men face 18 charges here. The pair were caught due to a joint effort from several law enforcement agencies, in addition to Stanley County, Orange County, and Chatham County sheriff's offices, reportedly Hillsborough Police, Chapel Hill Police, and Mebane Police. Many other jurisdictions also worked together to catch these brothers. The Muas were set to make their first appearance in Stanley County Court on those charges today. From local government news in Orange County, the town of Hillsborough last night approved a request to change a downtown street name. Residents of Thomas Ruffin Street have petitioned to have it removed due to the namesake's ties to disenfranchising black people, both by owning them as slaves and by ruling against them as a state Supreme Court justice in the 1800s. Now it will be known as Lydia Lane, named after the enslaved woman at the center of one of Ruffin's most infamous rulings from the bench. The Hillsborough Town Board unanimously approved the change Monday, which will go into effect 60 days from yesterday. The Orange County Schools Board spent some of its Monday night meeting talking about a building just a few yards away from Thomas Ruffin Street. The district set a course of action for renaming Cameron Park Elementary School, as well as C.W. Stanford Middle School elsewhere in the county. The board recently voted to have those names removed for similar ties to racial injustice or disenfranchisement of community members. According to the plan approved by the school board 5-2, the principals of the two schools are going to select community members to serve on two renaming committees, and then those committees will sift through online nominations of new names with the goal of having a handful of potential ones for approval chosen by May. You can find more coverage about the background information regarding Cameron Park and C.W. Stanford Middle School on chapelboro.com. In some upcoming local government news, the Chapel Hill Town Council is going to be considering a redevelopment project along Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at its meeting tomorrow night. The 1200 MLK project would redevelop a non-operational gas station and the Tar Heel Mobile Home Park by building a new gas station, convenience store, and a multi-storage self-storage building. And the project has recently gotten a lot of community attention. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has why.
The proposed 1200 MLK project is the redevelopment of the existing Tar Heel Mobile Home Park and the non-operational Marathon Service Station. Located on the east side of Martin Luther King Boulevard, across from the Northfield Drive intersection, the project is proposing to redevelop the existing gas station site with a new, larger 5,700-square-foot facility, along with a 100,000-square-foot self-storage building. The site consists of two parcels totaling 13.9 acres, with the old Marathon service station at the front of the site and approximately 73 existing mobile home units at the rear. Project officials have said that the gas station and storage facility will ensure a profit so the developer can keep the mobile home park open. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger said the developers have told the council that families could be evicted and apartments built on the site instead if the project is denied.
The landowner has said that if they can't do the self-storage, then they will ask kick everyone off the property. That would mean 73 families would be told that they had to leave, and most of their homes aren't transportable. So what does that mean?
The developer, Stackhouse Properties, said the plan would preserve the 73 existing homes in the park for at least 15 years, while simultaneously limiting rent increases. The 16 homes located where the storage facility would be built would be relocated on site. The Chapel Hill Town Council delayed the final reading of the 1200 MLK project in February, after not reaching the two-thirds majority needed for the proposal to pass. Members of the town council agreed the project didn't align with the town's land use goals and voiced concerns about traffic safety and environmental impacts. Ultimately, Heminger said the votes came down to whether they thought the project was the best way to protect residents in the park.
Council was caught between those two parameters. This is not a good land use plan, yet we want affordable housing. We want people to be able to live in our community. We don't want to push people out. So this balancing act, it was really a struggle. And the decision just felt really, really difficult. Is not the right word. It's trying to weigh those against each other. What does that mean in the long run for the town?
Stackhouse Properties bought the Tar Heel Mobile Court in 2019 and submitted a plan last year that would move 16 mobile homes around for a four-story self-storage building bigger than the Lowe's store on US 15501. The Chapel Hill Town Council will return for a second project reading at its meeting on Wednesday, where it will only need a majority vote to approve the proposal. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
It is time now for a look at sports, and the Diamond Heels are currently in action against the Liberty Flames at Bochimer Stadium. Left-handed sophomore Will Sandy started the game for Carolina, but had to be removed in the fourth after giving up four runs. Since then, the Flames have hit a three-run home run to put Liberty up by four. That happened in the middle of the fourth inning. It is now 7-4, thanks to a home run from Clemente Inclán from the Tar Heels, and that game is currently in the fifth inning top of the sixth inning, as it looks like Carolina still down three runs to Liberty. Moving to men's basketball, all ACC academic teams have been announced by the conference today. UNC had a pair of players make that list, first-year guards RJ Davis and Kerwin Walton. They are both expected to be back in action with the team tomorrow night, where Carolina is going to be facing the winner of either Notre Dame or Wake Forest, who play their opening game tonight. You'll be able to hear our coverage of Wednesday's UNC game right here on 97.9 The Hill. That will begin at 7:30 with countdown to tip-off. Head coach Roy Williams and his wife Wanda were in the news yesterday, not for athletic reasons, but for their philanthropic reasons, I should say. They made their largest one-time gift to Carolina yet, $3 million to several scholarship funds at the university. And with this latest gift, the Williamses have given more than $5.8 million to Carolina in the 18 years Roy has been the head coach for the Tar Heels. Coach Williams said he and Wanda hope the news of this gift will inspire others to help the university as well.
Doing something to endow scholarships for the University of North Carolina Athletic Department is something that was important to us. And, the whole world is in a tough situation right now, financially, health-wise, everything that you can think about. And so it just seemed like it was the right idea and the right time. And the more you give, the more you receive. I've believed that for a long time. And we are in a position to be able to do some of these things. And the Carolina Covenant, the Chancellor of Science program do give opportunities to people. I love our buildings, but I'm not big on buildings. I'm about people. The University of North Carolina not only is home, but it's a place in our heart, and it's a place about the people.
UNC head coach Roy Williams speaking there. And of course, we got some other strange but exciting news that also could benefit the community announced today by Dunkin', which in partnership with Coach Roy is going to be releasing a limited time only donut in his honor. It's called the Ole Roy, and it's going to be a Boston cream donut with chocolate icing and then some Carolina blue icing drizzle on the top. It is all going to be sold from March 14th through the 27th, and participating restaurants across North Carolina, 50 cents from each of those donut sales is going to be going to the UNC Children's Hospital and Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina. So that sounds like a fun time. And if you want to see what these donuts look like, as well as Coach Roy holding one, head to chapelbrown.com and our social media pages to check that out. To wrap up our sports update here, the women's lacrosse game scheduled for Thursday this week between Carolina and Virginia Tech has been postponed. Virginia Tech still coming off of a pause to team activities due to COVID-19 protocols. It has yet to be determined when that game is going to be made up, but Saturday's game between the same two schools is expected to still happen as previously scheduled. Currently, it has a start time of 1 in the afternoon on Saturday, and UNC is going to look to maintain its undefeated season so far. Congratulations are in order as well to former UNC soccer legend Mia Hamm, who was selected in the latest class of the National Women's Hall of Fame. She is in some really great company, one of 9 people to be added, including former First Lady Michelle Obama. The 2021 class for the National Women's Hall of Fame is going to be inducted at a ceremony in October. Thanks again for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. We've been talking a lot about coronavirus vaccines, and North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper announced today that the state had crossed 1.1 million people being fully vaccinated in the state so far. While more and more people are becoming eligible to make those same appointments and get those doses, some of the state's most at-risk people are still waiting their turn. People with chronic medical conditions are some of the most vulnerable to the coronavirus, but they are not scheduled to become eligible for the vaccine. Many are not until March 24th when Group 4 begins. Carolina Connections Elizabeth Wheelis has more on how advocates say those types of people deserve to be prioritized in North Carolina's vaccination plan.
Junior James Stewart has been quarantining in his parents' house for a year.
It feels like I'm missing out on some stuff, but hopefully I'll be able to do that soon. But it seems like it's so far away still.
Stewart has cystic fibrosis, or CF, a chronic disease that attacks the lungs and digestive system. He goes through medical treatments twice a day, and he can't get within 5 feet of someone else with CF. He says that especially now in the pandemic, he's on high alert.
It's like someone might have CF and someone might have COVID, and I have to worry about both of those. I was kind of hoping that I'd have the vaccine before campus reopened or before I had to go back to campus.
In North Carolina, Stewart and others with disabilities and chronic conditions are placed in Group 4 out of 5. They're not scheduled to get their vaccines until March 24th. Some, like Stewart, may have to wait longer due to overwhelmed counties and doctor's offices.
I was told like maybe 6 months ago that like any month now I'll get the vaccine and like people who are at risk will be getting the vaccine, keeping on the pattern of just, okay, next month it'll be, or the next month. And it was pretty frustrating.
The state's vaccine focus was on healthcare workers and those most at risk to help lower COVID numbers immediately. Disabled people were not considered at highest risk. However, on Tuesday, Dr. Mandy Cohen, Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Health, said that the new one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine will increase the numbers of disabled people being vaccinated.
Particularly when they live in more congregate settings, where we spend a lot of time making sure we were protecting folks proactively.
2017 UNC graduate Abby Quinn has spinal muscular atrophy, which impairs her muscles and lung function. She uses an electric wheelchair and requires full-time caregivers to help with her daily activities. She says she's scared of what could happen if she gets sick.
Am I going to die alone in my apartment because I wasn't classified as, you know, necessary to get this vaccine and stuff early enough?
To aid in vaccine distribution, the state moved Group 3's start date from March 10th to March 3rd. Cohen said the state's Group 4 requirements have also been altered for efficiency.
We're also expanding the definition of long-term care, which will also make sure that those with intellectual and developmental disabilities are captured in our vaccinating effort.
Other states like South Carolina have taken action and placed disabled people of all ages in their top priority group. Quinn is encouraging the disabled community to advocate for the same treatment in North Carolina.
We need to show that these individuals with disability are important, that these people's lives do matter, that they are people themselves, and that they deserve to get vaccinated, and they deserve to get vaccinated now.
Dozens of people with ALS have sent a petition to the state government to reconsider the vaccination plan. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elizabeth Wheelis.
Carolina Connection is a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. If you want to hear their full program, tune in to 97.9 The Hill on Saturday mornings at 8:30. Turning now to some state news, a new candidate announced their plans to throw their name into the 2022 U.S. Senate race ring. Longtime Republican and former Capitol Hill staffer Kimmeri Reinhart said she has started collecting signatures for her name to be included on the fall 2022 ballot as an independent candidate. The Pittsburgh resident said she officially changed her affiliation a few days after the January 6th U.S. Capitol building riot by extremist supporters of former President Donald Trump. Reinhart joins a few other candidates who have announced their plans to run for Senator Richard Burr's seat as he is set to retire, but she will need more than 83,000 signatures from registered voters in North Carolina in order to be included. Also, North Carolina's chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans has filed a lawsuit over the state's decision to stop issuing license plates bearing the Confederate battle flag. According to WRAL, the state commander for the group says the State Division of Motor Vehicles never discussed the move with him or the organization's attorneys, despite numerous inquiries about why no new Confederate plates had been sent out for months. The SCV alleges that North Carolina, quote, acted in bad faith and has always been hostile to the organization members. The state announced it would stop issuing, or the state stopped issuing plates featuring the flag when the new year began.